This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Thank you for joining us last night for Politics and Pints. We had a great night. It was a lot of fun. Great to see so many great friends. And really fun to be on stage with Nick and Dawn and Dom. And, of course, the great Sauce vs. Gravy debate. Sauce vs. Gravy. And, obviously, Sauce won because it's sauce until you put meat in it. And then it becomes gravy. But it starts as sauce and then evolves into gravy. But it can't be gravy unless it has meat. Otherwise, it's sauce. All right? So we settled that dispute once and for all last night. And grazie mille for that. I don't know if the Italian guy is going to become Pope. I hope so. There's like three Italians in the running. One of them was the Pope's Secretary of State of the Vatican. I hope that guy wins because he's my favorite. Well, they say he's a moderate, but I want an Italian Pope again. You know, as an Italian Catholic, as a Roman Catholic, I would like an Italian Pope. If nothing else, just to do the accent, because I've been doing the Pope accent all these years. And the only accent I could do is an Italian accent. So every Pope, whether he's German or whether he's, you know, Czechoslovakian or whatever, he always sounds like Father Guido Sarducci. So I'd like it to be an actual Italian Pope. That would be my hope, but we'll see. In other news, the Fed today has announced that they are keeping rates where they are. And the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, says inflation right now is holding steady, but they are worried about the impact of tariffs. And so bottom line is that they're going to keep the inflation, keep the rate where it is right now. No change. And that was a unanimous vote, said Powell a short time ago. And look, I mean, obviously, it'd be nice when interest rates start to go down, clearly. But one of the key themes last night that we talked about was giving the president time to work all this out. So today he announced his new ambassador to China. If you're wondering, yes, I'm in New York. I'm in Jimmy Fallon's studio. I don't know if we're streaming on YouTube yet, but I'm up here in New York at Fox News. I was literally in the chair for America Reports, sitting across from Sandra Smith, and then the president started speaking. And, you know, it's funny because originally the White House press secretary, Caroline Levitt, was supposed to have a briefing at 1 p.m. So I jokingly sent a text to the communications team at the White House and I said, hey, let's keep it brief because I'm supposed to be on making my debut on America Reports at 1:40. And, you know, got like a little chuckle. Well, then to get me back, they actually moved the president to 1:45 and boom, right there. So, haha. But I'll be back on Friday. You know, so that's okay. That's what happens. Three bumps this week. Not like the kind of bumps that not like cocaine bumps, but that'd be much more. Three. I got bumped three times this week from TV. TV is it's heartless. It's cruel. That's why radio, first of all, you know, you have more time. It's not as scripted and it doesn't let you down. That's the thing. It doesn't let you down. And TV is just, you know, it's like you can't, it's like a cheap hooker. But bottom line is that, you know, that's what it feels like. And you feel like that, too. You get all duddied up, gussied up, the makeup, you sit in the chair, and then nothing happens. And they're like, you know, die um Gott. So there you go. Sean, are we streaming on YouTube? Are we on the stream?
Yeah, we're streaming on YouTube.
We're streaming? All right, good. Just making sure. I like to see that. That's good. So you can see in the background the Fox Across America logo. Fela was kind enough to let me do his, use his studio, which we'll be doing again on Friday and then on Monday. So the president came out. He swore in the new ambassador to China. And China is the issue, right? So let's think about this now. China is the big issue. It's the problem. It always has been the problem. It always will be the problem. Until China decides it wants to join the League of Adult Nations. And if that happens, great. If it doesn't happen, then the problem is that China is going to find itself ostracized from the rest of the world. And it can't survive like that. China needs America more than America needs China. We can make stuff in other countries. You know, I think it's very obvious. We realize right now that we can't make everything here in the United States of America, at least not right away. So, but we can, in fact, make things in other countries as well. Countries like India, for example, we can do that. We can do that. And it doesn't have to be China. You know, China, it is, if you realize this, the thing about China is that they are our enemy. So if they're making our pharmaceuticals and they're making our steel and they're making everything else, then the problem is then we can't count on them because they are a country that wants to defeat us. And that's the issue that is never going to go away when it comes to China. And the reason for that is, during COVID, we realized how dependent we were on things like PPEs. Remember the personal protective equipment, masks and gloves and all the other things that we needed. And if China can on a dime just decide to turn it off like that, then we're in big trouble. And we saw that with the minerals, right? They didn't like the tariffs. What did they do? They turned around and they said, well, now we're not going to give you any more rare earth minerals and we're not going to give you any more of the critical elements you need for things like batteries, just like that. And that's the issue. That's the problem. So then India comes into the conversation. India does not like China. India is a friend of the United States of America. It's the world's largest democracy. There's always going to be certain things, unfortunately, that we're going to be making overseas. And if we're doing that overseas, well, at least then we have a country that we can depend upon and not one that is a communist-run country that has a supreme leader in Xi Jinping that seeks to dominate the entire world. The way to bring a country to the table is through trade, actually. It's not by cutting them off. It is to bring them to the table through trade. But that means that the world has to then unite and say, we are going to make sure China grows up. And if they don't, then they're not going to be at the big kids' table anymore. When that happens, China's going to realize it can only make money if it's a country that exports. And if nobody's buying what they have to sell, then they can't make it. And you would think to yourself, all right, well, then does China do something crazy, invade Taiwan? I don't know, start World War III? They can't. They have a population problem. They have a lot of problems, actually. Hang on. They have a lot of problems when it comes to, even though they're such a large country, they have a resource problem. And so, no, they're not going to do that. The way to get them to be good, for lack of a better word, is just to make them realize, listen, you got more to gain. You got all this money you can stand to make if you're good. And a big part of that is the intellectual property issue. There are so many companies out there that know that China's stealing our intellectual property and making a fortune off of it. And it's a problem that's not going to go away anytime soon. So the president has been very clear that he wants China to come to the table with a good deal. But in order for that to happen first, we have to have an agreement announced with India. So I'm hoping, I'm very optimistic, I'm really hoping that this announcement can happen very, very soon. Now, there was a missile strike yesterday between India and Pakistan. These are two countries in the Middle East that are both key allies to the United States of America. Now, we don't have to trust the Pakistanis, but we do business with them. And much like Saudi Arabia, we do business with them. And it's like, you know, your father did business with Hyman Roth, but your father never trusted Hyman Roth. It's kind of the same thing when it comes to Pakistan and Saudi Arabia, too. But obviously, they're both nuclear countries. We don't want the situation in the Middle East to get any worse. We have a very volatile situation there as it is. So let me cue up cut number one here. This is the president talking about that, India and Pakistan, and what he hopes to see come out of this, and that it will not escalate, This, he said this at the swearing-in of former Senator David Perdue from Georgia as the new U.S. ambassador to China. Cut number one.
What's your position?
Oh, it's so terrible. My position is I get along with both. I know both very well, and I want to see them work it out. I want to see them stop. And hopefully they can stop now. They've gone tit for tat, so hopefully they can stop now. But I know both. We get along with both the countries very well, good relationships with both, and I want to see it stop. And if I can do anything to help, I will be there.
If I can do anything to help, he certainly can do something to help. And I'm sure the United States right now, back channels, is working all that. Because the big issue is that if India is going to step up to become our new, say, trading partner, and it's going to take over for China, then we can't have any conflicts going on. That's a really key point. And the other point, too, that I think is very relevant to the whole conversation with India is that we've already had American companies go over there. We've had international companies leave China and go over there for a variety of reasons. But they're there now, and so they're worried about the impacts of tariffs if a deal is not reached very, very soon. I think one will be. I predict the announcement on India is going to come maybe by the end of this week, but early next week. I was surprised it didn't happen last week. That'll be huge. That'll set the table for everything and send a clear message to China about what the world expects of China. So that would be good. But obviously, that coverage could all be interrupted by the Pope. Because the Pope, black smoke, tomorrow could be white smoke, we could have a new Pope. But in the meantime, we're talking about trade. We're talking about China. So a reporter asked the president, this is cut number two now, what do you hope will come out of the talks with China in Switzerland? Okay, so they are going to have deal. They are working. They are sitting down. Have a whole delegation there. Now that we have an ambassador from the United States to China, they can sit at the table. They can try to work this out, come up with something good that makes everybody happy. Cut number two.
The talks in Switzerland, what do you expect? What do you hope to come out of it?
We'll see. I mean, look, it's we were losing $1 trillion a year. Now we're not losing anything, you know? That's the way I look at it. We were losing with China on trade $1 trillion a year. More, actually. 1.1. But let's say $1 trillion. You know what we're losing now? Nothing. That's not bad.
Now, China is losing, though, a ton of cash. You're still going to see, though, a lot of stuff made in China, because remember, the way that it works, the supply chain, you're loading all this stuff on a container ships. You're sailing them across the ocean. That takes time. Takes a couple days. And then you got to get them to the ports. You got to unload the port. You got to unload the docks, load them on the trucks, the trains, whatever, get them in the stores. You're going to still see a lot of things that are made in China that have already, the orders have been placed and everything else. The impact of that in terms of Chinese-made products and not hitting the shelves, and this is why the media keeps warning about all these, you're not going to have dolls for Christmas and the shelves are going to be bare and all the other things. That's not true for a lot of reasons, but mostly because a lot of these orders have been placed already. And they, as soon as the tariffs, the president announced them, companies started racing to place their orders before the tariffs went into place. So a lot of that is kind of baked in. Now, that doesn't mean, though, from China's perspective, that they're going to be okay 6 months from now when all of that supply chain and those orders are fulfilled and everything that's kind of been, you know, pre-tariff. When that exhausts itself, that's when they have to come around and go, all right, what do we do now? You know, what do we do? The United States initiated trade talks with China. The United States did. We initiated the trade talks. Let's work this out. Let's make this happen. You come to the table, be grown-ups. I personally would like to see China not only stop ripping people off with intellectual property, but also I would like to see human rights. I mean, that was a thing at one point we talked about a lot in this country, like human rights abuses. But China's building ships faster than we can count. China is eclipsing us in so many different ways. So we got to have talks. So let's make those talks happen. This is cut number three, reporter asking Trump at the same swearing-in ceremony about that. Cut three. Cut three, Sean.
Are you still confident you can reach a deal with China?
They said we initiated. Yes. Well, I think they ought to go back and study their files. Okay, I do think that.
Well, so the president's point is they initiated it, not us. They initiated it. All right, they're the ones who wanted the talks, and they should want the talks because China has more to lose here than the United States of America does. So there you go. Now, Joe Biden's back. First of all, how do we miss you, Joe, if you never go away? How can we miss you, Joe, if you just don't go away? That's the issue. That's the question. And Joe Biden is back telling the BBC that Kamala Harris, that she was a well-funded candidate, but basically Trump is going to win either way. Now, let me explain exactly what's happening right now. The Democrat Party is very angry. The base is very angry because all of this was orchestrated without their permission. The Democrat Party would rather lose with somebody they can control than win with somebody they can't. So they kept Joe Biden in as long as possible so those checks could clear, so that, as Biden said in the BBC interview, they would have a well-funded candidate. And then they did it too late for them to be able to make a swap without it being Kamala Harris. Otherwise, the money wouldn't transfer over. And they closed the convention process, so they would not allow an open convention. Now, the people in the Democrat base, I'm not talking about the whack jobs, but there are a lot of whack jobs. But just your average, everyday Democrat voter, okay? They're angry because they feel as if this party has completely abandoned them, and it's all run by super delegates and former presidents and people very, very high in the oligarchy. That's the irony of this. You know, Bernie Sanders is running around screaming about oligarchy, which has like a wonderful dip, olive and garlic oligarchy. It's delicious. But he's screaming about this at the very same time that the people in charge of the Democrat Party control the process to such a degree that nobody has a chance of actually becoming the nominee. Nobody. Unless you're their pick. They pick you, and then you become the nominee. Look at what happened to Bernie Sanders. And then, so you have all these Democrats turning around and going, well, what if we would have run Gavin Newsom? What if we would have run whoever? You know, Tubby Pritzker in Illinois, that big bowl of Jell-O. What if we would have run Gretchen Whitmer? Now, I don't think any of them would have won. Biden says the same thing. He goes, you know what? It's like, Trump was going to win anyway. Well, then why didn't you stay in? Why didn't you stay in the race? The reason why he didn't stay in the race is because the Obamas forced him out. And he's like, well, you know, we had a well-funded candidate here. Yeah, you had a well-funded candidate because guys like you and George Clooney and all the others, I mean, actually not Biden, because he didn't know what the hell was going on, but they made sure that they kept him in as long as humanly possible to build up that war chest. And then they lost. So now they're fractured, and you got this whole grassroots of people in the base who say, this party doesn't give a damn about what I think. This party only cares about controlling the process. Yep, that's correct. That's why Hillary Clinton was a candidate in 2016. It's why Biden was a candidate in 2020. And it's why Kamala Harris was a candidate in 2024. I say all this because Biden keeps coming back, talking to the BBC. Why? Why doesn't he just go away? You know what it is? He's a stubborn old geezer, and he does not like the fact that people are talking about his legacy. And this new book that's coming out, another tell-all book about Biden's decline. This one coming out and saying, well, turns out the old man, we were going to give him a cognitive test. We weren't worried about him failing, but we were worried, you know, people would have all this attention on his age. Give me a freaking break. They didn't give him a cognitive test because they were worried about him failing because they knew he'd fail. And when Jen Psaki comes out and goes, oh, I never saw that Joe Biden. Stop it. Everybody saw that Joe Biden. Everybody saw the guy. He came out. He does this. It's a true story. Comes out and does a press conference. And he confuses right after the Hur report came out. Remember, Robert Hur comes out, the special counsel, says Biden's just a senile old man who could never remember anything. And so they can't convict the guy. It's the Uncle Junior defense from The Sopranos. I'm just an old man. I don't remember anything. I'm a forgetful old man. Well, Biden got angry at that. So he comes out that day and does a press conference. And he confuses the president of Egypt with the president of Mexico. On that very day, he has a press conference to try to prove to everybody that he's sharp and he's with it, confuses the president of Egypt with the president of Mexico. Easy mistake. Easy mistake. They don't speak the same language. They're not on the same continent. Easy to do. Anybody can make that mistake. And then there was a time, of course, that he has this big thing after the debate and he wants to reassure everybody. So Zelensky's there and he introduces Zelensky as President Putin. President Putin. So they knew that he could not pass a cognitive test. They knew that he was cognitively gone. They knew this. But what do? they decided that they were going to keep him in as long as possible. This lie, all these people writing these books now looking to cash in on this. Hey, God bless you. You know what? Go ahead. If you can make some money off a book, go for it. Why not? Why not? Everybody else is making money off books. Why not you? I should write another book. But my point is that they knew damn well, and everybody knew, there's no way Biden could pass the cognitive test. No way. So they go, well, we just didn't want to bring attention to his age. Bring attention to his age. The guy's falling off bikes. The guy's falling upstairs, defying gravity and falling up the stairs of Air Force One. The guy is falling down at the Air Force Academy graduation on stage. You don't have to bring attention to his age. The attention's there. That's like saying the ice cream truck. We don't want to bring attention to the ice cream truck as it's going, as it's, the bells are ringing outside the Little League game. You don't have to bring attention. It brings attention to itself, okay? And all the kids know it's there, and then they tell each other. And suddenly they're hitting you up for money. So it happens to me every friggin' weekend now that it's warm out. You know exactly what I mean as a parent, right? I got to do my mobile wood-fired pizza truck is what I need to do. I'll make a killing doing that. That's what I should do. I really should. Because all these parents can't figure out what to do for dinner, and then the kids are hungry, and then it's late, and, you know, serve up some of my wood-fired pizza. But yeah, maybe we'll get an Italian Pope and I'll do that. I don't know. No pineapple, though. Several people made comments last night about pineapple. We're not doing pineapple. It's not going to happen. All right? It's not going to happen. It's fugazi. But with Joe Biden, I tell the BBC that he knew. It's like, oh, you know, I knew Trump. Nobody could beat Trump. Nobody could beat him. It was one of those situations where we had a well-funded candidate, but nobody could take him on. Give me a break. This is cut number 18. This is from the interview with the BBC. Reporter asks him, should you have withdrawn earlier? It's a very, very logical question. Here's cut 18.
I can hear your passion. I can hear your anxiety that the world is changing the way it has. And for a long time, you believed. You said, I'm the man who can stop Donald Trump. And you did once. And in the end, you withdrew from that election campaign at the last minute. It's a question you know lots of people ask you. Mr. President, did you leave it too late? Should you have withdrawn earlier, given someone else a bigger chance?
I don't think it would have mattered. We left at a time when we had a good candidate. She was fully funded. And what happened was, I had become what we had set out to do. No one thought we could do. And become so successful in our agenda, it was hard to say, no, I'm going to stop now. I meant what I said when I started.
First of all, let's understand something. You did not have a good candidate. You had the worst candidate in American political history. The worst. Give me a break. She was well-funded, though. He's right about that point. She was well-funded. As all the cash, all the checks, they made sure that all the checks cashed before they pulled the old guy out of the race. That's what they did. That's the bottom line. But no, you didn't have a good candidate. And he's happy she lost. He's happy she lost because he, remember what I told you about Joe Biden? He is the most stubborn guy. He's a guy with obviously massive ego, I mean, to be president, right? But he's going to go back to Delaware and tell all his invisible friends, he's the only guy that ever beat Donald Trump. He did everything he could to undermine Kamala Harris. Let's not forget that. Do you remember he would come out, never did a press conference. She's doing an event, and he decides to do a press conference. Decides to walk out of the press briefing room. First time in 4 years. He calls Trump supporters garbage. He did everything he could to undermine her candidacy. He didn't have to work very hard to do it. She was undermining her candidacy every day. But the point is, he was happy she lost because he wants to go back and tell all his invisible friends on the beach and all these dead world leaders that he built sandcastles with. It's like, hey, Churchill, you know, I'm the only guy. I'm the only guy who ever beat him. Just me. I'm the only guy. Nobody else could beat Trump but me, but they pulled me out. They took me out of the race. Took me out. So Biden's point is that nobody but him could have won. If you really listen to that, if you really translate that, what he's saying is she had all the cash, she had all the resources, but nobody could have beat Trump but me. The message being sent back to the Obama establishment is, you mother blankers, you people, you, I'm the only guy who could have won, and you took me out of the race. That's the message right there. All right. We got a big show for you today, 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. We're fired up, and apparently there's going to be breaking news coming out from James O'Keefe today that we're keeping our eye on today. Also, a big announcement from Pam Bondi and Cash Patel about taking down a child sex trafficking ring. So there you go. Garden State Earthworks, my great friends over there, Lou Vargo and his team, they're going to make sure whatever water problems you have in your yard, they're gone. Drain the water away once and for all, and when it's gone, it's gone. So that's what you want to do. You want to reach out to GardenStateEarthworks.com today, or call them. The number is very easy to remember. It's 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444. They're busy because they're the best. You tell them I sent you, they're going to make you a priority. GardenStateEarthworks.com. I've used Lou in two different homes. I know, my luck with homes, right? It's like, first home, wet basement. He comes to my house. I met him for the first time. He goes, I promise you, you'll never have another drop of water in this basement ever again. Second house, backyard's like a swamp. Well, drains the water away, and it's good to go. That's the thing. The work is guaranteed. All you got to do is go to GardenStateEarthworks.com or call him today. Whether water is against your pool liner, destroying your property, hardscaping, getting into your house against that foundation, causing stagnant water in your backyard that breeds mosquitoes. Water problems never get better on their own. So you got to get the guy, the man himself. GardenStateEarthworks.com, 856-848-4444.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
So, it is Wednesday, hump day, and there's a lot going on today right now. Matt, if you would do me a favor, keep your eye on James O'Keefe for me, because apparently he's got some big announcement that's coming out in this 3 o'clock hour today. I'd appreciate that. Obviously, you know, Trump world, he comes out, he speaks, and everybody goes to it. So, I got bumped from Fox today. It's all right. It's all good. That's why I'm in here in Fela's studio in Fox Across America. And I'll be back here Friday and Monday and then Thursday. So it's a whole thing. But the point is this. We live in very exciting times, ever-changing times, and very exciting times as well. But the best part about all of this, I mean, honestly, all of this, is just the meltdown from the left about their own party. And let's not forget that they have no leadership. They don't know who's in charge. They really have no clue what the hell's going on. They don't. They just have no idea what's happening right now. So if you're them and you're the opposition, and this is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. You're realizing now a couple things. One is you have to get rid of any Democrat who might possibly in any way, shape or form support things that could be seen as moderate, like, say, being in support of Israel, which brings us to Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterperson. So John Fetterman has been a steadfast supporter of Israel. John Fetterman's also been somebody who's been out there saying that we have a problem with the border. You can't have the size of Pittsburgh coming into the United States of America every single day. Let's cue up cut number four here. There was a hit piece about John Fetterman in the New York Magazine where they talked about all these staff members who said, we're really worried about Fetterman's mental health. If you look at the United States Senate right now, and you think about where Kyrsten Sinema was, Joe Manchin was, this is the way it goes. If you are a Democrat who starts to play ball a little bit with Republicans on key issues like immigration, they will slit your throat. Why? I'll tell you the reason why. Anybody who gives Trump credit for closing the border, well-deserved. That's what he's done in the first 100 days. Shut that baby down, and it's been amazing. Wasn't hard to do, but they never wanted to do it. See, everybody was distracted this whole time by people going out there and being like, well, we need a bill. You know, James Lankford, Senator Lankford, we need a bill. Got to have a big bill. Joe Biden going, I need Congress to act. You need any of that to happen. But they never wanted the problem to be fixed. First, you have to want the problem to be fixed, and then you have to fix it. But if you don't want the problem fixed, problem's not going to be fixed. It's like a marriage. If you don't want to fix your marriage, you're not going to be fixed. It's going to end. If you want it to be fixed, you put in the work, maybe you can fix it. But if you don't want the illegal immigration surge to end, then it's not going to end. They wanted millions of people coming into this country. The whole goal of the Democrat Party is to change the makeup of this country. I don't mean in terms of the skin color. I mean, literally, they want to bring people into this country. They want to get them on social services. They want to make them citizens, and they want them to become loyal Democrats. That's what they want. And they want to just run the table. That's their plan, and they don't hide from it. These are people that believe America sucks so bad, we have to take in every single person around the world who wants to come to this country. That's how awful we are. We have to atone for everything bad we've done. And since we're such a terrible, awful place, what we need to do is bring in all these people, whoever wants to come here, anywhere from around the country, and come here, right here in the United States of America, to this terrible, awful place. So that's what was happening. In the meantime, though, you had people like Kyrsten Sinema, senator at the time from Arizona, saying this is a problem. You had Joe Manchin saying it was a problem. Where are they now? They're out. They're done. They're gone. Same fate will follow John Fetterman very shortly. That and his support of Israel. The Democrat Party doesn't like that. You have a lot of anti-Semites in the Democrat Party. It's why Governor Josh Shapiro was not picked to be Kamala Harris's running mate. The Pennsylvania governor is very popular, but would have hurt her in Michigan. So Shapiro wasn't picked. Fetterman now, they got all these stories going, well, his health. Did you not see that friggin' debate? I remember going on America's Newsroom with Dan Aprino and Bill Hemmer the day after the debate. And we talked about that debate and how bad John Fetterman did. And, you know, I was polite about it. I wasn't looking to slam the guy. I mean, he had a stroke. But I said, there's real questions about whether or not he could do the job. But what were we told at the time? At the time, we were told, oh, no, he's fine. It's like Biden. Oh, he's fine. He's fine. So he slips up a little bit now and then. What I said was maybe after that debate, John Fetterman should consider getting out of this race and going and healing and spending time with his family and getting better. I mean, politics can wait. No, can't say that. That was mean. That was a mean thing to say. You don't care. How dare you? How dare you? What are Democrats saying now about John Fetterman? Oh, we're worried about his health. He's losing it. Yeah, the old man, you know, is not too sharp. It's a joke. They write this entire hit piece about him. The very same people who were all telling us we were mean for suggesting John Fetterman maybe should drop out of the race after that debate with Dr. Oz. You know, maybe he should go. Maybe he should go work on his health. Everybody who said that back then was mean and insensitive. You uncaring SOB, you. New York Magazine writes an entire hit piece. Those very same Democrats all coming out and going, you know what? This guy's got real problems. He's got real mental problems. Guy was in an institution for depression. He had a major case of depression. He went into a mental institution for it. But that happened a long time ago, as in like 2 years ago. None of this is new. So why is it all coming out now? Because the party's turned on him. It's exactly like Joe Biden. I told you this during the election. I said they will keep Joe Biden in as long as they think they can win. If they don't think they can win, they're going to pull him out so fast your head will spin. And sure enough, that's what happened. They don't care if you're corrupt, if you can win. No problem. If you have dementia, you're senile, as long as you can win, no problem. They don't care if you had a stroke and you can't speak, as long as you can win, no problem. But the minute that you start embracing policies that the left does not want, say like a secure border, which Fetterman has said, or Israel, which they call genocidal maniacs, well, then you got to go. You know, you're no longer useful to us. So all those same things we once called you a bigot for, and an insensitive SOB for, now we're going to use them against you. Now we're going to use them. That's right. So here is John Fetterman responding to that report. Cut number four.
Yeah, no one's ever seen that. It's a one-source story with a couple anonymous sources. Hit piece from a very left publication. There's really nothing more to say about that.
He said he was worried that you're not taking your medications. Are you taking your medications, sir?
Again, the hit piece, anonymous source.
First of all, it's none of your friggin' business whether I'm taking my medications. That's what I would have said to her. None of your friggin' business. But why is the press even engaging in this? Because that same press corps would not entertain any of those questions after that debate with Dr. Oz. That absolutely not. You were mean. You're a meanie pants if you asked those questions. Now it's open season on the guy. What changed? It's like when they went after Menendez, you know, the first time and then the second time. What changed? Everybody knew he was corrupt. Listen, I grew up in New Jersey, as you know. I know New Jersey politics inside and out. Everybody knew Bob Menendez was corrupt. It's like saying, well, water's wet. We all knew this, but why did they decide to go after him? Because he crossed the Obamas on the Iran deal, and then he crossed Biden on the Iran deal. It's the same. Why did they go after Biden? They knew Biden had dementia. They knew Biden was corrupt. Why did they go after Biden? Because they thought he couldn't win. And so they had this debate to expose everybody, to expose his dementia to everybody, and that's what happened. And then they slit your throat. So now Fetterman's on the wrong side of these issues, and they want to bring him down. It's a crazy time in which we live right now. It really, really is. It's a crazy, crazy time. But I'm just watching a Democrat Party that has no idea how to rebuild itself. And I'm loving it. I'm loving every second of it. Loving every second of this absolute train wreck. They have themselves to blame. You ask grassroots Democrats, they'll tell you these people did this to themselves. They did this to themselves. Didn't have to be like this, but they control the process. They don't let us have any say. So now you got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Democrats who are also doubling down on protecting illegal immigrant criminals. Yeah, they are. Helping them figure out how to escape authorities, helping them figure out how they can get sanctuary, where they can go and hide. Good luck. I mean, good luck making that issue one that you win on. Good luck. Tom Homan calling out AOC about that. I'll share that with you upon my return. But I want to tell you, as we continue along the show here today, thank you very much again for joining us at Politics and Pints last night. We had a great time. It was a lot of fun. And I appreciate you coming out. Always a great time when we do that. And, you know, I love to laugh. I love to smile. It's very important to me. You got to have a great smile. That's why I want you to go see my buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria at Vanaria Dental. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. He's a great guy. He's a great friend. He's the master of dental implants, the master of making you look and feel your best, the master of giving you that beautiful smile. That's why for over 10 years, 10 consecutive years, Dr. Mike has had other dentists refer their patients to him. And with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, Vanaria Dental, easy to get to. Right over the bridge. You'll love the people in the office. You will love the staff. Everybody there, care and compassion. And look, we're getting into picture season. You got proms, you got weddings, you got all kinds of stuff. So make sure you have a beautiful smile. Plus, you got to go see a dentist. There's a big link between your mouth health, your gut microbiome, your brain health, heart health. It's all linked. And if you don't see a dentist and you don't get regular cleanings and checkups, you could have a problem. Very easy. 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020 or VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Poor John Fetterman. I mean, this guy, all he did was just come out on the wrong side of the issues. That's it. That's it. That's all he did. That's all you have to do. And you're dead. They cut your throat. They slit it. Nancy Pelosi comes out, gets the fangs out, sucks your blood, drains you. You're dead. They throw your corpse at the side of the road. It's how it works. So what do Democrats do going forward? And why does Joe Biden keep popping up anyway? Why is he talking to the BBC? Why doesn't he just go build sandcastles on the beach and just leave everybody alone? Doesn't that tell you something? Because the guy does not want his legacy to be distorted. Oh, by the way, remember the Maryland man? The Democrats were all defending the Maryland man. Do you know that there's a story? This is fascinating stuff here, actually. So the Tennessee Star reported the following. The Department of Justice gave limited immunity to the human smuggler who owned the van driven by Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the Maryland man, in order to get details on that 2022 trip. So you remember the traffic stop? We played the video for you a couple days ago. None of the people speak English. The officers clearly know what's happening here. They call Biden's FBI. They call Biden's Immigration Customs Enforcement. Nothing. Nothing happens. They get ungats. Nothing happens. They know this is a human smuggling operation. They know what's happening here, and nothing happens. So the guys were let go. Nothing they could do about it. There was no state violation. So feds didn't want it because it was Biden's Department of Justice, Biden's FBI, Biden's ICE. Nope, guys left. But news emerged on Tuesday that the United States Department of Justice, who the Tennessee Star reported last week is now investigating Kilmar Abrego Garcia, offered limited immunity to the owner of the vehicle driven by the El Salvadorian national on his November 2022 trip from Texas to Maryland that was briefly interrupted by a Tennessee Highway Patrol traffic stop in Tennessee. After confirming the Star's previous reporting, the ABC News report revealed that Jose Ramon Hernandez Reyes, who the U.S. Department of Homeland Security confirmed was the owner of that 2001 Chevy Silverado, driven by Abrego Garcia in 2022, recently spoke to a DOJ lawyer regarding the stop after being offered immunity. Now, this guy, Hernandez Reyes, was previously arrested in 2019 and convicted of human trafficking in 2020. Shocking. At that point, he was sentenced to 18 months behind bars. Then he was deported and ordered not to return for 3 years. According to the Tuesday report, Hernandez Reyes violated the terms of his sentence and illegally re-entered the United States sometime later, allowing DOJ attorneys to interview him at the Federal Correctional Institution in Talladega, Alabama. Talladega Nights, baby. The outlet, citing sources familiar with the interview, reported that Hernandez Reyes recently spoke with attorneys who asked questions about his connections to the Maryland man, Abrego Garcia. Hernandez Reyes reportedly told the DOJ officials that he met Abrego Garcia in 2015, just 3 years after he admitted to illegally entering the United States. After they met, the prisoner reportedly admitted to DOJ that he paid Abrego Garcia to transport illegal immigrants from Texas to various destinations throughout the United States. So, in addition to being a wife-beating MS-13 gangbanger, he's also a human smuggler. So he's got that going for him. And you know, all those Democrats who went down there to El Salvador, who were defending him and saying that this Maryland man needs to be returned home immediately. Now, as I've said to you, we have enough wife beaters in this country. We do not need to bring any more in. We also have enough human smugglers, too. We have enough human traffickers. We don't need to import anymore. And we have our fair share of gang members, too. All different stripes. All different walks of life. We got Irish gang members, Italian gang members. We got the Russian mafia. We got the Chinese mafia. We got plenty. We don't need any more. So my point is that if immigration exists to try to fill voids, we have no void that Kilmar Abrego Garcia needs to fill. Plenty of wife beaters in this country, sadly. Plenty of gang members, sadly. And plenty of human traffickers, sadly. We're going to crack down on all those people. We don't need to bring him back. But do you notice how the story's gone away? Do you notice how quickly that story's gone away? Nobody talks about it anymore. What happened? They were down there. They were whining and dining the guy. They were at Margaritaville with the guy in El Salvador. They had shirts. All right? Senator Chris Van Hollen's spring break. He's on a spring break trip with Kilmar Abrego Garcia. Sipping margaritas. Well, he claims that no margaritas were consumed during the course of their meeting. Guys out there, lush palm trees hanging out. Why aren't the Democrats all back down there right now? That has gone away so fast. Notice that? Story's gone. The minute that audio of his wife, ex-wife, whatever she is, going on about how he beats her and she was afraid and the kids were afraid, that was it. But they were investigating this guy for human smuggling. So that makes you think, how many other times did Kilmar Abrego Garcia do it? Was it just that one-off? Was it just like one time he decided to just smuggle all these people, add a third row to the car and smuggle people in from Mexico? What do you think? Probably not. If you're gonna take the time to soup up that car with the extra seat, the extra row to accommodate all the people, you're probably gonna do it more than once, I would think. I'm no expert, but I would think that. So yeah, that's where things stand. And so it's fascinating, isn't it? How the Democrats have decided to go down the road of defending these scumbag, criminal, illegal immigrant gang members, wife beating, human trafficking smugglers. I mean, that's who they're making a stand for. That's who they're making a brave stand for. Those people. Remarkable, isn't it? Remarkable. Today, the Attorney General of the United States, Pam Bondi, and Kash Patel both announced a big crackdown on people who go after kids. The worst of the worst. Big scumbags. And we have audio of that, which I'll bring you a little bit later in the show. But coming up, Dr. Fauci, Asanto Fauci, Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor. You always have to say that by law deserves to be in a prison cell. We're going to talk to Justin Goodman from the White Coat Waste Project about the end of gain-of-function research and what it means and what Fauci did and what lies were told and how we can get to the bottom of this. And wait till you hear what Senator Rand Paul had to say about this. All that straight ahead for you. Don't go away.